Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
A big hit feels great, but I mean, there's no other feeling compared to like an interception. I had a big interception at the end of our Baylor game this year, and I mean, nothing compares to that feeling, so definitely against the pass.
New Bills safety Cole Bishop. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Back talking some Bills draft and recapping it with 13 Wham Sports and BuffaloPlus.com's Dan Fates, who joins us now in the Sports Bar. Dan, looking at the overall body of work here for the 2024 Buffalo Bills draft, did Brandon Bean do it right?
Well, not necessarily how I would have liked to, but as comments would say, it's a good thing I'm probably not running an NFL team. So I do have to have some faith in Brandon Bean and where their mindset is. I would have liked another wide receiver. I would have liked more speed. I know this team has a lot of holes still left to fill. They have leaders they need to replace. They lost five captains. And Brandon said it after the draft. This is a team that's in a transition. And we've seen the Patriots do it over the years. We've seen the Chiefs do it over the years. The Bills have to find a way to constantly evolve and turn over chapters of their teams under Josh Allen. And this is the first installment that we have seen. I like some of the pieces, but I think we also know there's a lot of times where we get out of the draft and draft grades are hysterical. I mean, I joked around about that. We're so done. I'm so over mock drafts. I'm even more done over draft craze because they just reiterate what you thought before the draft. So if you liked the player before the draft, you love the pick. And if you didn't love the player before the draft, you don't love the player after the pick because he hasn't done anything. I will say I was unsure about my thoughts on Keon Coleman just from the sense of what a lot of other people have said. Listen, I worry. I think I've talked about it too. I want guys that can separate. And I've asked smarter people than me, Matt Miller from ESPN, we talked about him. I asked him before the draft straight up, is Keon Coleman a boom or bust kind of guy? And he said no, and that there is more to his game because I worry that if you can't separate in college, how are you going to be able to separate in the NFL? But there is a lot of raw talent. I think there's a lot of upside. And talking to a friend of mine who played football in the ACC, he kind of joked that Coleman didn't really run routes in Florida State's system. Like, put him in a structure in an NFL with using his talents to, you know, using his strengths to his ability, maybe there's more than what we saw at Florida State. So I think that's the upside. I would have liked more speed. We've heard a lot about Brandon Bean saying, you know, you need to add speed. That's our fastball. Coleman's not necessarily a guy that I see of as a real burner, obviously.
Dan, I went on Kansas City radio yesterday morning, and it was just kind of like that they're pointing and laughing at us. I'm sure you felt, some of the heat, on 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus from Bills fans. Yeah. How could you dare make that move? If anything, you're going to be comparing the careers here of Keon Coleman and also, Xavier Worthy, but bottom line, why? What, from the Bills standpoint, is it a move you would have made, Dan?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I tweeted, I was in shock that you would trade with the Chiefs. And I've never seen, maybe, and obviously sports are passionate and fan bases are and all these things. Gene, you know that as a Mets fan. Trying to process the things with a calm head. I remember last year when the draft was over, that night I didn't like Dalton Kincaid. I didn't understand the pick. And I know there were people talking about, like, we'll just view him as a slot wide receiver. And I was like, well, then you drafted a slow white slot wide receiver. Like, draft a wide receiver if you wanted to draft a wide receiver. You drafted a tight end. And I slept on it, and I woke up, and I was like, hey, maybe he can be that bigger body Cole Beasley to occupy the middle of the field. And I kind of slept on that. My reaction on Thursday night was, how do you ever do anything with the Chiefs? Like it just makes no sense. And then I woke up and I went, I can't believe they still made that trade. If Kansas City calls, you hang up. I don't know why that's so hard as something to process. And a third round pick that they got for it is like, cool. And I joke around about the fact of like, everybody loves draft picks, guys, until they become players. Like, yes, you gained a third round pick and everybody loves the hope of what a third round pick can be. And third round picks can be Terrell Bernard. And third round picks can be Zach Moss. So it's like, you love the thought. I joke around, second round picks can be stars. They can also end up being Cody Ford. Like, you have to understand that, like, there's still so much left to decide. And I just personally wouldn't want to put that in the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. And for everybody that says, and I've been on here, guys, we talked about it before, I still think right now the Bills have one of the worst 6 or 7 wide receiver rooms in the NFL.
Yeah.
And for everybody that tells me, and trust me, I get a lot of these comments on Buffalo Plus and on Twitter, like, well, Dan, you don't need, look at what the Chiefs did. They had a subpar wide receiver room, and look, they won back-to-back Super Bowls. And to that, I say, yeah, they also had Patrick Mahomes, possibly the greatest quarterback of all time, a Hall of Fame tight end, and maybe the greatest offensive coach that we've seen in NFL history. And also, I find it very funny, for how bad the Chiefs' wide receiver room is, guys, you know what they've done the last 2 years? They drafted a second-round wide receiver. They signed Hollywood Brown. Oh, yeah, and they traded up in the first round to get a wide receiver. It's not like the Chiefs are sitting there going, ha, you don't need wide receivers. What do you mean? We can just no, they're actively trying to improve their wide receiver room. So for all this thought of, the Bills had one pick on day two. Now they have three. But they didn't have a pick in day one. Like, you didn't just magically gain a second-round pick and a third-round pick. You gave up your first-round pick to get them. And that's why I still feel a little icky. Dan Orlovsky, who I view as my father in our hoodie sport coat and very intelligent wearing ways, he likes the Coleman pick. So I've kind of become more on board with, you know, a guy with great footwork, a guy with big upside, a bigger body, all of those things. I've come around on Coleman, but I'd be lying if I said that the trade with the Chiefs didn't make me feel very icky inside.
Yeah, when you look at what they've done with the addition of Brown and then drafting Worthy, I mean, they certainly got faster, if anything, and we've seen how that speed against this Bills defense usually works out. It doesn't go well for the Buffalo Bills. I wanted to...
That's my point, too. I didn't like Xavier Worthy. He was the one guy that I was very concerned the Bills could take, and I just thought, there's a history of first-round wide receivers that weigh 170 pounds that just doesn't pan out. And people can point to Devontae Adams, and then to that I always say there's an exception. And for people that say, well, you can get Puka Nacua, you guys can get those guys in the fifth round. That's like, they point to the exceptions of the rule. And when you look at the draft as a whole, guys, it's very frustrating when people say, you can get wide receivers in any round. Look at Puka Nacua and look at this. To that I'd say, well, I guess just why draft a quarterback in the first round? Because you can just wait till the sixth round,
yeah,
and then you get Tom Brady. Like, it doesn't work out like that. So I can also not want Xavier Worthy on the Bills. I can also not want to hand him to Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who it's not the media that has said the Chiefs are their rival and who they're chasing. Those are words that I'm taking from Brandon Bean. That is who they're trying to beat. And again, if the Chiefs were going to wait and get Xavier Worthy at 32, that's fine. But I wouldn't have handed him to the Chiefs, which is what they did. And that will be a narrative that Bills fans will have to live with. And maybe he doesn't pan out. And we can look back in 2 or 3 years and say, hey, they got a third round pick. And maybe this you know, safety from Utah will pan out, but we'll see. That's my thought.
Dan, on Keon Coleman, and you mentioned it, you know, during the pre-draft process, we all talked to all the guys that watch the film and break it down. And one of the guys that I like to follow is Matt Harmon at Reception Perception, who kind of said that if Coleman makes it in the pros, his best shot and the skill set that he has coming into the pros is similar to, let's use Amon-Ra St. Brown as the example that he, the shining example that he used. But they play Amon-Ra St. Brown largely as a big slot. And if you're the Bills, I get the sense that they're not going to use Keon Coleman specifically in that role. They've got enough slot receivers in that wide receiver room already. So are we in any way concerned that Coleman as the X might be miscast in this offense?
I guess we're going to find out because that's my fear too. And that's a great other one. It's like DK in the third round, Amon-Ra in the fourth round, and people think that it's about fit. It's about the fit because I joke around like if the Seattle had drafted DK Metcalf and asked him to run double moves and asked him to run curl routes, like he doesn't do that. He runs a slant and he runs a go route, and like that's all they ask him to do. But he's elite at it. So you have to find out what Keon does really well, and you have to ask him to do that. So. Can he be this X wide receiver, stretch the field, kind of replace Stephon Diggs? And I know they move a lot of guys around, but that's my fear is that he doesn't have enough speed to really kind of push the ball down the field. He made some great catches. There's no doubt about that. It is funny. Anybody that's ever played basketball at like the high school level or anything, what's the draft comp, guys? Plays above the rim.
Yeah.
That's what you hear over and over again. I looked at like Mike Evans. I looked at, you know, Brandon Marshall, those kind of things. It's a big body. It's a big catch radius, good hands, good footwork. Those are the things that I like. So as of right now, I'm going to put my faith in that, knowing that I just think he's very raw. Out of a lot of the wide receivers that were there, I think he's very raw. That doesn't mean bad. It just means a little bit of unproven that we're going to get to know. And again, Danger, maybe this is also, they're trying to retool this offense. So maybe they see Khalil being maybe more on the outside, maybe more than we're used to. Maybe that's where they're seeing him and putting Coleman a little bit more in the slot than what we think fits. But this is going to have to look like a new offense without Gabe and without Diggs, what this offense is going to look like.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're down at 13 WHAM, Buffalo Plus, Dan Fates here. Second round pick, Cole Bishop. And I look at last year's second round pick, Osiris Torrance, and I'm like, wow, you can't ask a rookie to start 17 games. He did. He was great here. So, I mean, maybe it's unfair of them drawing this analogy, but the Bills have shown before, hey, we're willing to start a rookie here. So how do you think Bishop kind of fares against, you know, as I'm already looking ahead to battles here at training camp going against the two incumbents, really the other guy, not really an incumbent in Mike Edwards.
Yeah, I think he's really going to give Taylor Rapp a run for his money. Depending on where they see him. But Bishop was a guy, you know, after they picked him, watching some film on him, reading what other people have said, the dude plays everywhere. And that's what Brandon Bean liked too. The versatility. We all know how much they love that term, but he blitzed. He's in the box. He's run stopping. He's covering tight ends. Like, he's not, he doesn't feel like the Micah Hyde replacement. Also, we can now, I think we know Micah Hyde. We think. I'm assuming Micah Hyde is going to come back to the softball game in Buffalo and announce his retirement there, if there's any sign of that. But I think that they're going to rotate a couple guys, but it seems like Bishop has a strong chance to play the strong safety more than really the free safety with his ability to blitz and do all those things. Kind of reminded me a little bit of like what Jordan Poyer did, where Poyer was almost at times this hybrid safety linebacker mix. That's what it feels like Cole Bishop could be.
Let's talk a little bit about the fifth-round pick out of Georgia. They went with the center in drafting Cedric Van Prangranger. Why I like that pick, Dan, three-year starter, won a lot of football games for Georgia. He comes in a winner, and he comes into somebody that I think can challenge McGovern if you have any doubts about his ability to shift from guard to center.
Yeah, I think we often overlook the consistency that Mitch Morris brought, and it's nice to have a backup plan. And maybe McGovern doesn't work out, or Edwards, they don't like necessarily as much as guard and want him to be still kind of be that swing tackle. It does provide a lot of pieces that they can kind of interchange, because I think you're looking at those three guys fighting for the two spots. And if we saw last year, like, you like Edwards, but you didn't ask Edwards to do more than what he was really kind of the extra tight end, you know, the extra lineman on a lot of running plays. So I'm with you. Winner, big program, SEC football, he knows how to, you know, mature, all of those things. I like that. And it was the first time where I went, hey, McGovern was really good at guard. Like, do we sure we want to blow this whole thing up? Like, instead of moving two pieces around, you can kind of just move one.
That's right.
And if SVPG, or however we're going to nickname him, is kind of falls in, if he has a strong camp, I think he's going to make a strong bid. Because, in my opinion, him and McGovern, don't you kind of see them as the same level playing field? And if anything, McGovern has the edge at guard, because you wouldn't have to move him, and you know what he is at guard. You don't really know what he is going to be at center. So maybe SVPG just kind of fell to them and thought, we can't pass this up, even though we had a plan of moving McGovern to center. Maybe now this is, hey, maybe we don't have to move him. And if, you know, this guy and Josh, you know, work well together at camp, maybe he can slide right in.
Talking to Dan Fates here, fourth round pick Ray Davis here, and he's certainly,
love him.
Yeah, interesting, you know, pickup for the Bills. And he's not really the in between the tackle sort of bruising guy that maybe we were expecting to pair with James Cook. But I'll ask the question this way: what do you think about him as a receiver here, Dan?
Yeah.
Because James Cook, there were a few drops. I remember the one in Philadelphia. So, your thoughts on Davis here and how quickly he may be inserted in the lineup.
Had Gene, you're a pro, because that was going to be my little tidbit. I thought I was going to be smarter than you and tell you that he had 7 receiving touchdowns last year. That was second in the SEC coming out of Kentucky. Like, I like that versatility. Plus, he may not be the bruiser at where he was at Kentucky. I know he bounced around. He was also at Vandy. He does have the size of like a bowling ball Mike Tolbert. Like, to be that guy that you would hope with his body size could be the short yardage back. That being said, I liked what Ty Johnson brought when they re-signed it. He was one of the guys I was like, kind of wouldn't mind him coming back, because I liked that he was kind of that 2A running back. Now maybe with Ray Davis here. Also, Ray Davis, doesn't that just sound like a running back from like 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers? Like he just sounds like he's a guy that has a neck roll and just will run downhill and run over linebackers. Also, his story as a foster kid, defying the odds. Said he, you know, pretty much had to be a man at the age of 11 or 12. He is going to be such an easy guy to root for. And again, all of these draft picks, and we can all hope what they, you know, what they will be or translate. There was a universal theme of this draft class of high character guys. And I think that's also a testament to this organization going back to what got them back on track in 2017, 2018, 2019, they went with culture over talent. And then they integrated some talent, and then whatever we want to talk about, Diggs or other things, like, I think the Bills are going back to that. We can win some games with culture and Josh Allen. And for the time being, I think that's where they're leaning. When culture and talent meet together, special things happen. But they've had to lose some talent, and I think they've brought in a lot of culture and a lot of leadership, which, again, they've lost five captains, three on defense. So I like what I've seen.
I love that you're dusting off the culture versus talent debate, because you're right, man. And that's an easy one to forget, like how much emphasis was placed on culture before they brought in Steph Diggs. And now the way Diggs left, it's almost as if to say, yeah, screw talent. We want culture. And then, but then they do this. And I want to go back to the wide receiver room, because they're bringing in a guy who was just suspended for an entire year for gambling, and now you've got Quintez Cephas as part of this wide receiving court. And by the way, Dan, I think he's got a pretty good chance of latching on with the Buffalo Bills. So does the culture versus talent thing rear its head when they want it to rear its head? Because it sure seems like they'll find talented guys if they'll look for the talented guys if they want them.
Well, that's what I always say. When Sean McDermott came in 2017, and it was the one thing that, like, it kind of annoyed me. To be honest, like, these kumbaya speeches, we have guys talking around the campfire about their lives, and that's, you know, if you love the guy next to you, you play for him harder, and all of these things. And I was like, the Patriots had murderers, and they won Super Bowls. Like, guys, I want dudes. Like, I want football players. Culture's great, too. But I think they are doubling back down on that sense of culture. And Josh Allen. Hey, we got Josh Allen. I remember talking to Bean at the Combine. He did kind of laugh about the fact of every single morning show that you turn on, every network is the Bills championship window is closed. And we asked him the question, like, on camera, and we kind of got done, and he kind of, like, laughed. He's like, the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's like, I got Josh Allen. You're right. But I don't want him throwing to us three. I want him throwing to guys that can separate, win battles, and all this versatility is great. And I like Cole Shakir more than most. I want a lot of money on a lot of his prop bets, guys. I invested money into Khalil Shakir, and I like the guy. But I don't want to put this unrealistic expectation. I'm seeing people tell me all the time, hey, I also don't know what Justin Shorter is going to be. Because trust me, we get a lot of those comments about, hey, you guys aren't talking about Justin Shorter in this wide receiver. It's like, okay. And Khalil Shakir could be a really good number two. It's like, I don't want to put unrealistic expectations onto these players to be somebody that they're not, because they did that with Gabe Davis and it didn't work out. Gabe Davis was a really good fourth round pick and he played really well for his first two seasons. And then they expected and thought he'd be more than he was. And I'm not trying to bring up the past, but you're kind of just trying to, how did we get to where we are now? It's, I want some talent. And whether this Quintez guy figures it out, sure. But hell, I think anybody has a chance to latch onto this wide receiver room. Yeah, I know there are still guys out there. I've heard there's maybe a little bit of rumblings that they could be more interested. From what I've heard, they're not interested in Deebo or in Brandon Ayuk. Clearly, it would be, to me, laughable to send Diggs out for his behavior or whatever. Obviously, we'll never know. And then to bring in a guy like Deebo and Brandon Ayuk, who are doing way worse things publicly, of a diva status than Diggs ever did in Buffalo. Like, and that's where it is, guys. Like, this culture, like, you want to have a strong locker room. I also want to fill some talented guys around Josh.
Dan Fates, 13 WHIM. Any other takeaways from the draft we haven't touched on here, Dan?
Travis Clayton. How about that, guys? This was a guy that boxed, played rugby, rode, has never played a snap of football before, but is 6'7", 300 pounds, and ran a 4.8 40. I don't know, but that's pretty sweet. Like, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but it's an awesome way to find an athlete. And Mike had talked about it, too, when on our most recent podcast, we recapped the draft. He said that he was talking to a scout or had heard a scout say, I'd rather have a guy that has no habits than bad habits. You are getting a raw dude that is not afraid of contact and is a monster, mountain of a human being. I think it's going to be interesting and fun to see where that could go.
Yeah, and then you have the added benefit of the International Player Pathway Program. Get you, Dan? An extra spot on the practice squad, or a little bit of flexibility there on game day?
Yes. So he won't count against them. I believe it was who was the running back that we all fell in love with?
Yeah, Christian Wade.
Thank you. Yeah, that was it. So another guy that, you know, see what he can do. But he's a mountain of a human being. And as Daquan Jones said so well before the Pittsburgh Steelers playoff game, sometimes football just comes down to a man whooping another man.
Yeah.
And I think Travis Clayton can, I think he can whoop some men. That's what I'll say.
Dan, what are you guys working on at BuffaloPlus.com here this week that we can check up on here as we look now ahead to some of the off-season work ahead?
Yeah, Jenna and I were up there on Thursday. We recapped it. I just couldn't believe, obviously, now the Bills did get a wide receiver, so I guess it's tempered a little bit of some thoughts on that. We recapped, Mike and Jenna recapped day two of the draft, and then Mike, Jenna, and I did a podcast that came out yesterday just pretty much recapping our thoughts and what's next. I still think they're going to add to the wide receiver. I still think, I'm not a huge fan of Odell Beckham Jr. He still is out there. I think he's past his prime, but maybe they need a little bit of some veteran in that room. There's not a ton of it right now. So I still think that, hey, Brandon Bean will tell you, it's still April, guys. There's still a long way to go till that. So we'll keep breaking all that down, talking culture over talent. And again, we have to figure out where some of these guys fit in. But I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic of Joe Brady with a full year to really implement his system. And where, you know, how does Khalil fit in? Where do they see him? How are they going to use Curtis Samuel as well as some of these other new guys?
Dan, thanks for coming on. I'm not going to hang up. I'm a new man.
You better
here.
Not hang up on him. He's our guest. You don't hang up on your guest, Gene.
This is surprising you, right? Like this Mets, like, is this found money? Is this like when you put on a pair of pants and there's like an extra 20? And you're like, I didn't know that. You're getting some joy out of this.
We're just holding our breath, waiting for the day. Maybe it happens this week. My Cubs are playing as Mets. He might just rub my nose in it at the Cubs.
Could happen. It's April 29th.
Hey, Danger, this is best case scenario. Because he said he wasn't going to care. I think the way they're playing, Danger, I think he's going to stumble upon optimism. And then he'll get crushed.
We're holding our breath and waiting for that day. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't, Dan. Appreciate the time, buddy. Be good.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com.
That was last year, or is it 2 years ago? I got excited. I hung up on him.
I think you hung up on him. Yeah. I think it was last year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last year. Because Mr. Mouth was the year before.
Mr.
And then you hung up on him the following year. You don't hang up on your guest. That's just...
I didn't. He wanted to get the Braves thing. I was trying to cut him off at the right time.
Yeah, okay, you were trying to cut him off by hanging up on him. Roll the tape!
Again, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, Dan, appreciate it. And look out this week. LGM, good talking to you, Dan. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, Gene!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No, you social misfit.
Yeah.
We want to have Dan back on with us now. You just hung up on him.
I didn't hang up on him. I
now you see. Now anybody that wonders why do I call Gene a social misfit Mets fan? Now you see the disrespect.
He was gonna get his Braves propaganda out over the air. I will text him. I will apologize.
You had to apologize alter your character. You realize that you had a problem.
I did.
Now you're just taking deep breaths, you're holding it in. At some point, it might come out. Maybe it overflows this week. We'll see what happens with the Cubs series.
Danger Plus is, it's bad for the show, you're acting.
It's bad for the show.
No, it's better for me as a fan.
Well, that's what's most important. We need you to be in tip-top. We don't need you getting all wound up, Gino, and hanging up on our guests over a silly baseball game. What are we doing here? I'll drink to that is next in the sports bar. We've got some takes on tap.
Oh, yeah. We've got some takes here as, Travis Clayton. I've got some thoughts on this here. Like, for the Bills here. I'm like, what is this really about? Maybe I'm out there, but I'm going to present to you a theory here.
Okay.
Also, the Spencer Rattler story.
Oh.
Like, how he fell here.
It's crazy, right? When he was at Oklahoma, I think everybody assumed that guy was going to
be the number one overall pick.
That's right.
And what happened along the way here, is it a cautionary tale or are we just kind of overlooking things? I'm going to be interested. So let's talk about Spencer Rattler.
We'll talk some undrafted free agents next hour as well as the Bills have signed several. Ryan Talbot will join us at 425 from NewYorkUpstate.com. And you can pull up a stool and join us as well. Our phone number is 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.